welcome to our second episode of On the Agenda, the ASBSD podcast. With me today is Tyler Pickner, Director of Communications for Associated School Boards. Glad to have you with us today, Tyler.
Thanks for having me, Heath.
So today we just finished up here in the governor's budget address for FY27, and from an informational perspective, the recommended amount of increase was 0% for the big three, which is K-12 education. Anything today surprise you, Tyler, with the governor's budget address?
No, I think he came right out and said, that we're a sales tax dependent state and revenues are flat at the moment. And so that's what's leading to the 0%. We'll see where it goes as session progresses.
They left a little meat on the bone, about 14 million, it sounded like, as far as for the legislature to take the recommendations. And they were very clear that this was a recommended budget, not a direct, hey, this is the final answer. We know typically that it usually the governor's budget address usually comes pretty close to fold when things all shake out in the end. For our K-12 schools out there, and a 0%, obviously we're going to work for more, and maybe there's a little more meat on the bone that we can move that needle in a positive direction for all of our schools. What are some thoughts in terms of the 12.5% general fund cash reserve or balance? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, state law says that you've got to have it set at 10%, and the governor's proposal now is to set it for this budget for 12 and a half. So they're going to try to put a little more away, is the plan for fiscal year 27.
So as we move forward and we look ahead to this session, we'll certainly be keeping our eye and working for, the best we can for all of our K-12 schools and the great job that they're doing educating over 80% of our youth in our state. They talked a little bit about an enrollment downturn overall in the enrollment in our public schools, K-12. A lot of that is birth rate, and then they mentioned a few other factors. As we look to the future. And we know that it's small and large schools that are being impacted by this. What are some thoughts you have in terms of the enrollment projections, and what are you seeing out there for that?
Well, I think when you look at the number they've got for the 24-25 school year, they had 137,000, just short of 138, and they're projecting a little bit lower. I think the figure for 26-27, which would be what this budget address is going to be right around 135,000, 135,500, something like that. So it is they're got a projection downward, and so we'll just have to keep an eye on that, as the governor noted. Birth rates are down. There's other factors involved, and so it as it trends down, he said that's what's going to happen in this, that the increases are going to be flat.
Let's talk a little bit about the new election law too, as we kind of transition here a little bit off the budget address. What just happened here? We just took that in. Let's talk a little bit about for our schools the election law update. We had House Bill 1130 passed last year. We just provided some updated guidance to all of our schools. Just talk a little bit about what we're doing and what we've seen with that election law.
So yeah, the guidance that we sent out the other day let you know that your election in 2026 with the new law has to be held on June 2nd or on November 3rd. And what we have heard from a Secretary of State's office is that if you are going to hold your election in June, which ASBSD does recommend, that you have to set that date by your December board meeting because your notice of vacancies has to be posted once a week for 2 consecutive weeks between December 15th and December 30th. So this month, if you haven't set your election date for June, you'll want to set it, and then you'll need to post your vacancies between the 15th and the 30th.
Right. The most important thing we wanted to make mention of is for these upcoming December board meetings that if they're going to utilize a June election date, that they need to make sure that they get that election date set so they can be following all of the state laws. And that guidance and that information came from the Secretary of State's office.
Absolutely. The other thing we would suggest is you'd start to talk to your county auditors if you haven't already, and look into maybe combining. I know that we've had some meetings with the Municipal League as well as the county groups, and it seems like a good number of them are open to combining the election, and that might just be easier in this transition year going forward.
Absolutely. And as we kind of get into that election scenario and doing that for the month of December here, we also just need to make note that certainly schools can utilize that November general election date as well. They have that option, for them. So I think most importantly, clear communication and just an open line of communication with their county auditor in determining that and setting how those elections need to be operated.
Also speaking with your school attorney too to make sure that you're following the letter of the law on that one.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit too. They talked a little bit about property taxes today. We know that property tax summer study they had going on this year. There was quite a handful of different proposals. We also know that went to the e-board. What are some things that were some takeaways? The governor mentioned that he'll have a property tax bill in addition to what maybe was 216 last year, and the county is going to have some opportunities to increase possibly sales tax this year as an option for them. Anything on that front from what you're seeing?
At the moment, I think it's just kind of a wait and see because he's not going to discuss it until the State of the State, which will be the first day of session, which I believe is January 13th, somewhere in there. But we'll know what the proposal looks like then, and then how that will play in with all of the proposals that came out of the property tax study during the interim, which I believe there were 19 of them moved forward, and then also how this is going to work in conjunction with Senate Bill 216, which was passed in the 2025 session.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for being with me today, Tyler, on our On the Agenda podcast. We will hear more from Lisa Snedeker in this episode as well. Lisa is the vice president of the Woonsocket School Board and the first vice president of Associated School Boards of South Dakota. So thanks for being with me today, Tyler, and for the update. And hopefully everyone enjoys listening to our podcast and the episode with Lisa Snedeker, Associated School Boards of South Dakota's first vice president. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Associated School Boards of South Dakota's podcast. My name is Heath Larson, Executive Director at Associated School Boards, and with us today is Lisa Snedeker. And Lisa is a school board member, a local school board member in the Woonsocket School District, and is serving as first vice president this year for Associated School Boards. And Lisa's made her way, has been on the executive committee previously, and we're glad to have her leadership and her knowledge and wisdom with us in the first vice president role for this coming year. Welcome, Lisa.
Well, thank you, Heath.
So, why don't if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, Lisa? You're outside of work today. You've been busy doing some things with the state fair as well as many South Dakotans do this time of year. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was just in watching my grandkids do their public presentations for 4-H, so it's been a great morning. They got purple ribbons. That's always exciting. And yes, with State Fair, I am involved with 4-H and have helped with judging projects. And I'm a 4-H leader in our county. Also involved on the school board and with church. I do the high school youth group. I have seven grandchildren now and five grown sons. So life is always busy. I have a lot of time I get to spend in bleacher seats watching games and very blessed that my family's all close by and I get to have an active role in their years of growing up and becoming good citizens for South Dakota.
Absolutely. Lisa, what inspired you to get involved in education at the school board level?
I've always loved school. School to me is it's like the best combination of Christmas and the new year all rolled into one. It's exciting, and I've felt that way since I was a young girl myself. I've had kids involved in school almost my entire life because there's quite a gap between my oldest and youngest, so I've been involved and actively involved in classrooms with projects. I've had a child that has had some special needs and needed to be an advocate. And I wanted to be more involved at the local board level because I believe so strongly in advocating for all students and for the staff. And I felt that my passion would bring just some extra reinforcement onto the board level for making those things all possible.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit, Lisa, about the role of the School Board Association, ASBSD, and then its relationship with local school districts?
Well, as I see it, we are very, very blessed in South Dakota to have associated school boards. They help with policy, with any legal issues that might come up for a district. Associated school boards has been fantastic as an advocate for public education. They help with legislatively being involved and at the forefront of actively working with legislators during session and outside of session. We are very fortunate that we have the leadership in our state that is able to collaborate and pull people together, and we all center ourselves around that common goal of providing the best possible public education for our students in our state.
Very good. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that. What as we kind of transition into a little bit talking about education policy and challenges that we have, and we all know we have challenges, what do you see as the most pressing issues right now facing schools, whether it be in your just local area in your region and then statewide?
Well, I think we all face similar challenges, whether you're in a large district or a small district, in terms of funding. I know that's been especially challenging for us in my small district in Woonsocket, and trying to come up with ways to creatively make things happen, even though sometimes you don't feel that you're getting the support at the state level. And on a local level, we have to look at what are the needs in our district. And that can be a little bit different from one district to another. But in general, we all want the best for our students. We want to have funding so that we can afford to hire quality teachers, to have the enthusiasm and the excitement for learning in all of our classrooms. To have support for the administration that is trying to make it all come together. And it can be challenging, just especially with the funding piece of that. Another challenge that I think we face is sometimes almost an apathy in many people's eyes for public education. I think sometimes we lose sight of how important it really is. We get sidetracked and bogged down with some details that maybe shouldn't be at the forefront. And, that's one of the things I think Associated School Boards does very well, is to really focus on keeping the main issues, and working together to make sure we're providing that quality education for all of our students.
One of the things I know you're a very big proponent of and supporter of is community and stakeholder engagement and engaging with your local community and et cetera. And I think schools across the state do a good job of that. And there's probably always room for improvement as well, as far as from an engagement perspective locally between school and community and your stakeholders. But describe for us how school boards can foster strong relationships with their local communities. What are some things you've either seen done, talked with counterparts on, et cetera, but what are some things that you can do to foster as a school board strong relationships in your local community?
I think anytime you have engagement with the community, for example, our school board recently started serving the meal at our back to school night before school starts, and it's a great way for us to have our presence in the school, welcoming families in as they're preparing for the new school year. Also, just being involved in community events, not necessarily school events, but the community events. We are, our board is, we show up to help with the FFA barbecue. We show up to help with different things that are going on that the students are involved in. I think when parents see board members engaged, that makes them feel good that the people who are representing, the patrons of the district at the board level, they know we care about those kids. We're not just there filling a role or filling a seat. We truly are engaged with the community and partner in as many ways as we can. We get involved in other boards, other opportunities for serving, whether that's a fundraiser for a certain group or event that happens, or just knowing that we're here, we're available if people want to talk with us. And we've been very, very fortunate in our community that we found that way of being able to pull people together and keep people aligned with our common goals and know that we support one another. And I think across South Dakota, that's one of the best things we do in our state. I've been in other states where they don't talk that way about their local schools and their local communities. And we're very, very fortunate. I know there's challenges when you live in a rural state and you're in rural districts. We have maybe different challenges than some other schools do, but one of the things that I think we can all be truly grateful for is the way that we pull together as a community and we support one another. That includes our school districts and the community as a whole.
Absolutely. One of the things I think is really special about South Dakota is our schools and our communities do really mesh well together, and in times of challenge, et cetera, really step forward and do a great job supporting each other. And it seems like our local constituents usually step up to the plate when called upon. And it's they understand the value and the investment in education in a lot of cases. So, and Woonsocket's always been a great supporter in your local community for your school as well, and vice versa. Talk to us. You mentioned funding previously a little bit on some of the education policy and challenges. With the increasing financial pressures on schools, what are some innovative strategies that school boards have you've seen or you use locally or heard about that are using to maximize those limited resources?
Well, we've had experienced this for a number of years. It isn't recent. We've been working with and partnering with districts that are close to us in geographic proximity. We've shared teachers. We've combined and shared different programs. We have a combined band with our neighboring school district. And that's been it, we just found that that was a way we could continue to provide a quality teacher in the classroom. It does mean that there are some concessions that need to be made, but we were willing to make sure we had the program in place and then try to way to make find a way to make that happen. Some other things that we have done is sometimes it involves doing some local fundraising. We have wanted to have some different things in our school district that, we really didn't have the money in the budget. So we worked to find a way to maybe create a fundraiser or do a special project that we can use to make that come about in the way that we want it to. And sometimes it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight, but when we keep our eye on the most important goal, I think we usually are just able to find a way to make it all come together.
As you look forward to the future of education, and you have great experiences in leadership at the local level, at the state association level, and you've connected yourself over the years, what is your vision for the future of public education in South Dakota?
Oh, if I had my perfect vision, it would be that everyone would be a strong advocate for public education. I can't think of anything more important for everyone to rally around than public education, because we are producing the citizens that will lead the way for the future. And I think when you go back in history, the way that our system was created for a free public education for all citizens, it's one of the cornerstones of our principles and our freedoms as Americans. And whether you live in a small rural district or a large, a metropolitan area, even outside the state of South Dakota, I can't imagine that there wouldn't be anyone that would say, oh, it's not a good idea to fully fund public education. And this is just my opinion, but sometimes I feel that we as citizens are looking at things, other things that maybe we value as a higher priority, and we need to get back to focusing on the things that really do matter. And a quality education for every single citizen is one of the most important things we can do.
Certainly a cornerstone of our democracy. As you think about your time on the school board, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to become maybe involved and serve on their local school board?
I think first and foremost, it's very important to be open-minded, to be willing to listen to a variety of perspectives and viewpoints, to make sure that you gather quality background information. And again, this is where I have to give a plug for ASBSD because you can trust that the information ASBSD puts out is going to be accurate and of good quality. Sometimes people can get sidetracked by coffee table conversations or someone's rant on Facebook. And it's very important as board members to not let those types of influences get in the way of being able to have a perspective and open-mindedness about what's happening in your school and being the best public servant that you can be. And also to keep in mind that as board members, we are responsible for every child in the district. So you can't get focused on a certain group or maybe a personal issue that you're invested in that you want to see happen. Those things are great, but we really do need to work collaboratively and work in connection with other people. So building relationships and focusing on, always look for the good and try to continue to make the good things happen for your school.
Generally speaking, in South Dakota, Lisa, it seems as though stakeholders in local schools typically support the mission of their local school district. And I think that by and large is true across the state. What are some examples that you're aware of and that you've either experienced yourself or heard about that support that sentiment that the local schools are really strongly supported by their local communities? What do you see on your end of things in that?
Well, you wouldn't have to look too far. If you go to any state tournament, you will see the stands packed with supporters of their local students and their athletes. And I think one of the best things we can do is to make sure that same passion transcends into other areas, to show up for the other programs, whether it's FFA or different programs that you have in your school. Maybe it's oral and turf or just local contests. Be there to support those kids also, not just your student athletes. I have seen sometimes where there's a dwindling amount of enthusiasm, and it's important for us to recognize that every student has something of value to contribute and to give. And when we work to find those special, whatever their passion is, and they can excel in that, it's a terrific thing. And sometimes it's just someone who's passionate about art and they showcase their art and the community is supportive of that, their musical talents, whatever it might be. But education, and this is where public education especially gives kids an opportunity to be so much more well-rounded. I think when we are invested in really thinking about that child as someone who's going to grow into an adult, and everything we do to support and nurture each individual child is our mission as public servants and as advocates for public education, no matter where you live.
Very good. Well, we're coming to the end here, Lisa, and really want to thank you for your time and your knowledge that you shared with us today about being a school board member, both at the local level and at your state association. So with that, I mean, hopefully you can get back to the state fair, get more purple ribbons and all kinds of fun stuff, and support your family. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to all of our listeners today for tuning in to Lisa Snedeker, Woonsocket School Board member and First Vice President of Associated School Boards. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa, for getting to know you better and your thoughts on education and the importance of education for our children. In addition to that information, look for the link regarding our Legislative Action Network information that'll be coming to our school board members, superintendents, business officials. The LAN update is for you to stay engaged and updated with the legislative process and as bills take forth, and get a little bit of information and more information comes, we will be reaching out to you as school board members for your input and feedback as we work through the legislative process. Thanks again, Heath Larson, Executive Director, Associated School Boards of South Dakota. Thanks for listening.